It's us, Jose, and an honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And as we all know, this week's Parsha, Parshas Achrimos, and we just finished an awesome Pesach. The preparation, the cooking, the working so hard, the Leil HaSeder, the Chol HaMoed, even though it was a little shorter than usual, Shabbos, Yontif. But it was awesome, and it just flew right by. And now we're back. We're back to regular day life. But now we have Parshas Achrimos, and we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions, and then we're going to come out with that major yesod, that major foundation point that we can bring into our lives in a very real way. The Torah tells us, Perek Tazayin, Pasuk Aleph, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe. Hashem speaks to Moshe. Achrei Moshe b'nei Aaron, after the death of two of Aaron's children, Nadav Aviu, b'karvosam lifnei Hashem, that they got, they approached before Hashem, they touched the Mizbeach, they amusu, and they were nifter, v'yomer Hashem o Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, daber o Aaron achicha, speak to your brother Aaron, v'al yavo b'chole yisel kodesh. He's not always able to go into the Kodesh Kedoshim, however, it goes into all the detail. The Avodas Yom HaKippurim, how he had to prepare the Kohen Gadol, the Aaron, who was the Kohen Gadol. And we know that one special day that he went, Lifnai Lifnim, he went into the Kodesh Kadoshim. Mamish, the highest point, and we know the whole Yom Kippur, the whole Tefillah is about the Kohen Gadol. Right, Mara Kohen, the Kohen Gadol, and the sprinkling of the blood. And it's so fascinating. We know that the Perushim and the Sedukim. Perushim is, they go and they explain, we're the Perushim, right? We go and we take the written law, but we understand that there's Torah Shebaal Peh. And the Sedukim is, they take everything literally. Everything needs to be literal, right? Famous, we all know, Usfartim Lachem, the Gemara tells us in Menachos, Daf Samachay. That the Sedukim Usfartim Lachem Mimochras HaShabbos, the Sedukim learn Mimochras HaShabbos, you're always going to be counting the Sefiras HaOmer Mimochras HaShabbos on a Sunday. And we say, no, Mimochras HaShabbos, the Perushim say that it means Shabbos, means Yontif, says the Gemara. Again, different dark drushas to understand it, a whole separate shir just within that, but it's always the either in Chutz La'aretz, the second day of Yontif, or in Eretz Yisrael, the first night, right after Yontif, you start Sefiras HaOmer. But guess what? There's another, so many famous machlokeses between the Sedukim and the Perushim. And it's very fascinating, because right in the beginning of Parshas Achrimos, there is another major machlokes. When we're talking about all the avoda of the Kohen Gadol, mom, in such detail, you know, Rav Soloveitchik would often tell his shir. I heard from my grandfather and from Rav Sachs and Rav Herschel Schechter, all his talmidim, that he needs a Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because we need the Beis HaMikdash. We need Shechina. But he's holding so well in Kodshim. He's holding so well. And he knows all the avoda, what the Kohen Gadol, everything. And he's excited to teach the Kohanim. Again, he wasn't trying to show off. He's the Rav Soloveitchik, Imam is holding everything. But he just wanted, because this is Parsha, Parsha Achrimos. And the Avodah, it says something amazing. The Torah tells us, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'nasan etak Torah ala Eish. We know that they had the incense, and they would put it on the Eish, Lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. The Sedukim, the way they understand this whole idea of taking the Ketores, again, he was inside the Kodesh Kedoshim, where Pincus writes that the Kodesh Kedoshim, Mamish Lifnai Lifnim, inside the highest moment that the Kohen Gadol is getting a Kapara for all of Klal Yisrael, the Kapara of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and he would go and offer the incense. So the Sedukim learn up the Torah, you know what? Where would he offer it? He would take it from outside, because the Pesukim seem to say, he takes it, outside, take, light the fire, and then you bring it inside the Kodesh Kedoshim, and then you have your Ketores. But the Perushim say, no. You light the fire inside, And then after the fire is lit, you bring the fire outside. Ask the Achronim, what is this machlokes between the Siddukim and the Perushim? Question one. Question two. Again, the Torah talks about, again, the Avodas Yom Kippur. We look at Mishnayos and Yuma. The first seven prakim is all about the Avoda, the Kohen Gadol, right? The Kohen's Avoda, all the different Avodas. And then again, one paragraph of Mishnayos talking about what actually happens, what you're allowed to do on Yom Kippur, what you're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur. And then it says in the Parsha Gevaldik, it says, Perik Yudches Posek Dalet, Es Mitzvosai Tasuv, Es Chokosai Tishmoru. You got to keep the Mishpat, you got to keep the judgments, and you got to do the chokes, even if you don't fully understand it. Lalechet Bahem Ani Hashem Elokeichem, you have to follow the ways of Hashem. Ushmartem Es Chukosai, Es Mishposai, Esher Yase Osam Adam, Dechai Bahem. And you need to live by them. Says Rashi, what does it mean, Dechai Bahem? Says Rashi, V'chai bohem la'olam haba. It means for the next world. Shim tomar ba'olam hazeh. If you're going to say you're going to live by them for this world, v'alo sofu hu meis. What do you mean? At the end of the day, after meiva esrim, a person's going to be meis. So it means v'chai bohem needs to be olam haba. The bomb question. The Gemara tells us in Yuma Daf Peh, we know there are three averes you have to give up your life for. Gilerais, immoral act, shvichus damim, killing someone, and Avodah Zarah, you can't worship an idol. However, the other, someone says, Chas v'Shalom, go and eat chametz, right? But woman finds a little Cheerio on Pesach, oh my God, or a man. Whoever finds a little Cheerio, oh my God, right? If someone would say, you better eat that chametz. So we love Pesach. Another reason why I love Pesach, because all of our kids are like, I need that in a sorry chametz. Right, today my little kid is like, Tati, I can eat this? I'm like, sorry, chametz. It's like, Pesach's over. I'm like, oh yeah, of course, I'll get it for you. Right? So, however, there's an idea that the chai bahem, by other mitzvot, let's say someone would say, you better eat chametz or I'm going to kill you. Of course, you got to eat the chametz. It might be hard to do that. But you got to eat the chametz because you have to live by them. And how do we know that? From this week's parasha, from Bechabem. But what do you mean? Rashi told me specifically, Bechabem talking about the world to come. Not Olam Hazeh, not in this world. So what's going on here? Bechabem, does Bechabem mean Olam Haba? Or does it mean Olam Hazeh? And Rashi says specifically, don't say Olam Hazeh. And Rashi, in our parasha, can't argue with the Gemara. That's the rule. Rishonim can't argue with Gemaras. Question two. Question three. We always have the third question. It has to be a Sfiras HaOmer. That's like my thing. We know that it's called Sfiras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer. Now, whenever you hear something, you have to understand it better. Sfiras HaOmer. Now, the Omer was the Omer Karbon. We need the Beis HaMikdash, and we need it now. The Gemara Menach talks about that. You know, the Omer is going to come, and we know that. Whenever you go into a pizza shop, it says that we sell chodosh. We don't sell chodosh. Just joking. We sell only yashan. Now, what's chodosh and what's yashan? Just for clarification, everyone should know, is that we know that all the wheat that takes root after Pesach, until the next Pesach, is called chodosh. You're not really allowed to eat that. Comes the Omer, and you bring this barley karbon. And then all that produce, all that wheat, all in the storage houses that took root after Pesach, turn into yashan. Then you're allowed, right? Pizza stores say you're allowed to eat yashan. That is because it's after Pesach. And now the carbon omer allows you. Nowadays, we don't have the carbon omer. We should have the baby. We got to daven hard. Got to learn up. The halach is good. But the carbon omer is a matir. It allows that all the produce is there. However, the question that someone has to ask is, first of all, it's also the linkage between Pesach to Shavuos. Why is it called carbon spheres ha'omer? Fine, I understand. But you know, the carbon that's being brought in Shavuos is l'shtei alechem. Why don't you say sphere l'shtei alechem? Why don't you say sphere l'matan Torah? what is the idea of, why is it called Svirus HaOmer? So three Gavaldi questions. Question one is that this week's Parsha, Machlokas Sedukin and the Perushim, when we're talking about the Avodas of the Kohen Gadol, we know that the Sedukim hold that when you're lighting that Ketores and incense, if you read it literally in the Torah, you light it outside and then you bring it in. But the Perushim, us, we learn that we have Torah Shabbal Peh, that Torah Shabbal Peh, we have nothing. You light it inside and then you bring it outside. What's that Machlokas about? Question two, V'chai Behem. Is V'chai Behem in Olam Hazet, Olam Haba? The Gemara, Rashi seems to say it's only Olam Haba, but the Gemara in Yuma Daf Pehe says that it's talking about Olam Hazet, that you can't give up your life. That you have to live by the mitzvahs, therefore you're allowed to give up you have to do the mitzvahs instead of, you got to violate whatever you can to stay alive. V'chai Behem. So that's Olam Hazet. And lastly, why is it called Svirus HaOmer? So let's take it slow. Let's build up the Yisoidis. So the obvious answer of the V'chai Behem is that the more a person works on himself, and the more a person lives in this world for the Olam Hazeh, and he builds himself, but it's for that Kedusha, for that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he's going to have a greater Olam Haba. The poorer person, but if he lives for that Olam Haba, wow. The Olam Hazeh is to get to the Olam Haba. And they're not two different things, they're the same. The more a person realizes that I'm living my life for that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both his Olam Haba and his Olam Hazeh, it's the same thing, because it's all about the relationship with Hashem. It's so amazing, Rav Shach said, famous Rav Shach. Rav Shach, who was the Gadol Ador in Bnei Brak, Aponovich, the Gadol Ador. Rav Shach said that, I don't know how big my Olam Haba is going to be. So many wealthy people, Gvirim, has given so many stucker to so many institutions. Wow, can't imagine the Rothschilds and all the wealthy, Baruch Hashem, the Gvirim, helping out people. They could have a bigger Olam Haba than me. However, I know that my Olam Hazeh, wow, it's so much because I have that relationship with Hashem, and I'm sure they had relationships with Hashem also. But Rav Shach is saying that the more we connect to the Ribbono Shel, Rav Shach was famous. Rav Shach one time walked into Eish HaTorah, the Gadol HaDor, coming into Yerushalayim, coming to the Kaisel, coming into Eish HaTorah. And he said the following. He said that if one man could kill 6 million, one man could save 6 million. When you walk into Eish HaTorah, his picture is right there of Shach. Right? Eish HaTorah is so major, major what they're doing now everywhere. Because we have the ability, one man, Hitler Yach Shemo, could kill 6 million. One man could save the amount what each person could do. Shach, because if you live with Hashem and you live for the Torah, V'chai Behem means that I'm living Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, but it's all about one thing. It's about that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does this interrelate with the Sedukim and the Perushim? The Sedukim believe that you go from outside inside. The Perushim, us, that believe in Torah Shabbal Peh. Without Torah Shabbal Peh, we don't know anything. We don't know anything about the laws of Pesach. All the laws and all the intricacies and everything, because it's all Torah Shabbal Peh. All of our Gemaras are coming from Torah Shabbal Peh. So without it, it's nothing. And the Perushim say, no, no, no. You take the Keteris inside, and then you bring it out. The more a person builds his Keteris, realizes, wow, the more I put myself, wow, the Kedusha of the Torah, the more I work on myself inside, the greater effect it's going to have outside. The more a person works on his Avodas Hashem, and he makes it great and keeps on going like that spring, the more it's filled, it just goes and it pours out everywhere. The more a person fills himself up with Torah, with mitzvos, with avas Hashem, with yiras Hashem, with Emunas Hashem, the more it's going to go and overflow everywhere. And that's what we can do. We all can do it. Taking the Pesach experience and now making it real. You know, in the beginning of the Parsha, Nodav Aviv, we've spoken about them before in Parsha Shmini. What happened here, there were Tzadikim Gemurim. You know, they took their own reasoning. Gemara in Erevin, Samach Gimel, talks about really exactly what was out there. They drank wine, or they were paskin in front of Moshe. The Ruach Haim HaKadosh says something amazing. Is that there were such great Tzadikim, they wanted to die just with the Neshik of Hashem, the kiss from Hashem. And they were on such a high level. Ask for Rosher Weiss, but we know our great leaders, Moshe and Aaron, and the great Rabbi Akiva, and all the greats. They didn't die. They didn't die that way. Right? They worked hard. They didn't just be makir themselves in the Mizbeach. So says Rav Asher Weiss, no, because they were moser themselves to become Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And even through the difficulties, even through the hardships, realizing that I'm living my life, which we spoke about before, the Leil HaSeder, Rabbi Akiva. How all Rabbi Akiva wants to do is build that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's on his deathbed, and he's being tortured, and he said, all my life, I want to fulfill Bechol Nafshecha. Bechol Nafshecha, Shema Yisrael, what a high level. Olam Hazeh, the more a person fills himself up. And that's our tachlis, that's our purpose. So what's Sfiras HaOmer? Why is it called Sfiras HaOmer? So whenever you see something, you got to go to the source. Where was the first time it said Omer in the Torah? So Klal Yisrael got the Mun. And when Klal Yisrael got the Mun, it was called Omer LaGalgoles. Omer. It just is like a measurement. No, Omer LaGalgoles. You know what Omer represents? Omer represents, and imagine every single day, relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, getting your food. Every single day, the emunah, the betachon, that wow, Hashem's going to provide for me. Every day the month's coming. Every day I can think, right? Don't think about pasav v'chalav, don't have my milkshake and my steak. Again, was there pasav v'chalav? I don't know, I'm not sure. But the mon represented, but again, there was obviously that greatness, but there was also an element, as we know, that it says it was a test. What was that test? Because you had to believe it was going to come. There needed to be an element of that siyata d'shmaya, the divine assistance, which I always talk about, still going strong with my notebook. Amazing siyata d'shmaya, that just amazing, maybe top 10 definitely. Amazing, amazing. So it turns out that, you know, Baruch Hashem, a couple years ago, around 8-9 years ago, my wife's grandfather gave us a beautiful, beautiful present, a beautiful dining room set. Amazing. Awesome. Beautiful chairs. Beautiful table. Amazing. But, you know, as the family Kinayin HaHara grew, and it, right, Baruch Hashem, now the kids started to fight that, you know, the chairs, they're too big, and I'm sitting at the end of it, you know, by the leg, and I can't get in, and the whole thing, I'm like, stop fighting, I'm sitting in my big chair. Hey, stop fighting, enough, you know. Not fighting, just arguing, but it's not really fighting, but you know. So we decided that we're gonna go get a new table and the amazing sale right now, right after Pesach sale. But what's the problem? The problem is that it's not like I have a table and chairs that the chairs are like gonna fall down and like, you know, you don't know who's gonna break the next chair. This is a good set. And like, whenever you have something good, right, sometimes it's hard for people, for me, to get rid of things at all. But imagine if you have a nice thing. So I hear that, like, everyone should be comfortable at a table, but, like, the same thing. So I had a great idea. I'm going to try to sell the table and the chairs. But we know it's very, I'm not a table salesman. Like, it's very hard to sell a table and chairs. Especially, I don't want to miss this sale. And so I decided, Siyata d'shmaya. You know, the story, again, I was once giving a shiur, I remember, and I said, Siyata d'shmaya, wow, it worked out. And obviously, yeah, that person that comes over after this year is like, let me tell you. I'm like, it was Siat Deshmayo sitting in traffic. I'm like, yes, you're on a very high, much higher level than me. That when you're sitting in traffic, you're thinking, wow, thank you, Hashem, wow. Right, one time a guy says to me, he's like, oh, Rav, you know, I know you always write your Siat Deshmayas, but do you write that you wake up every single? I'm like, I wish I was on that level. You know, I wish I woke up from bed, Moda, like jumping out of bed, Moda, honey. I wish. Again, there's different levels of life. So I decided I had a great idea. I was going to go to the secondhand store in Neah Sharm. And I'm going to try to get rid of this table, but I want a little money for it. It's a beautiful table. So I walk into the store. And again, they asked me, I said, listen, I took pictures, you know, a camera. Can you imagine, like, who has a camera? Like, my kids have cameras, you know, with the chips. Right? One day we'll be laughing, like, oh my God, this person had a computer and a camera, antique. I'm not going to talk about my old cassette player, whatever. So I walk in, I'm like, I got a great table, really great table and chair. So the guy's like, how much do you want for it? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know either. I'm like, hey, you know, this is what you do as a living. What do you mean? You don't know. He's like, you tell me what you think. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm not like, you know, like, what do people, you know, it's a really good table and chairs. So I'm like, I don't know, 3,000 shekel. He's like, are you joking me? 3,000, I have to sell it for 3,000. I'm not going to, you know what? I don't even know what your table and chairs are and this. I'm like, I'll show you a picture. He's like, you don't even know how to sell it. I'm like, okay, whatever. So then I go to the next store. Same run around. But now, I can't ask the guy, like, how much is this table and chairs? But now I see a guy walk into this store. I see a guy walk in the store and he's looking at a table and chairs. And I want to exactly know how much is this store selling it for? So I could, but I can't go back to the guy and be like, oh, I want this and this and that. So I left the store a little frustrated. Okay, what am I going to do? You know, the worst thing in the world is to order and have two tables. That's not going to work, right? So you can't order before you get rid of the other one. But you need to make everyone comfortable. And, you know, the sale might be over. So the man's leaving the store. And I said, you know, can I ask you, you know, how much are they charging? So he's like, yeah, you know, in the low 3,000 shekel market, whatever. I'm like, oh, wow, okay. You know, it turns out that, you know, I have my camera here, and I'm trying to have a great table. I'm just trying to get rid of it. It's really great. I'm not a table salesman. And, you know, I could show you pictures. So he starts seeing pictures, and he's like, whoa, this is great. But then he's like, he's like, I don't know, I don't think my wife's going to really like it, I'm not sure what's going to be. So I'm like, he's like, you know what, I want you to email pictures to me. I'm like, okay, listen, it's going to be a busy day, I'm going to see my parents, right? I mean, my family taking me out to Ramot, my parents, shout out to my parents, amazing, amazing meal. And it was like really late, really, really late. And my daughter, that always knows how to do these things, wasn't home yet. It was like 11:45 at night. It was so late. And again, you got to take a chip out and put in the computer. And I didn't really know how to do this. You know, I was scared. I was going to pick the chip, lose all the pictures. That's all I need. And I wasn't sure. It's so late. And like, but I told the guy I was going to send him the email, the pictures, even though I don't think he really wants it. But again, so I decided one of my other daughters, who's, you know, every kid in Baruch Hashem is great, but everyone has different strengths, and I didn't want to try it. I was scared, but I'm like, I'm going for it. And we went with it together, and we were able to download the pictures working so hard. And then it was like 12:45. It took us an hour to figure out. And then, obviously, I don't have the guy's email, so I can't call the guy because it's 12:45 at night. But I know at the same time that, you know, when you're selling things, you gotta be on top. You gotta send that email right away, or who knows, maybe he's gonna. But again, I wasn't sure if you really wanted it. I said, you know what? I'm going to send the email. And then obviously it wasn't. The man told me it was the number that he gave me with a Gmail, and he'd take out a zero. And I sent it, thinking good. And then when I woke up in the morning, it returned to me. So I'm like, okay, like, what am I supposed to do? So it turns out, see, I have to just smile right away, that he called me. So now I'm going to call him back. But I wasn't sure. I was in a rush. And I decided, I was walking with my son, I decided, you know what? I'm gonna call him, even though I have important meetings. I'm gonna call him, and while I call him, try to get the email, try to get it out. And while I'm speaking to him, the Rebbe of my son's cheder hears me talking at a table. And then he's like, "What, you have a table?" I'm like, "Yeah, you know, I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know. It's sometimes hard to sell these type of things. You know, I can't spend 4 months trying to sell a table. I have a guy maybe interested in it." He's like, "You know, I think that I really might want it." And the only reason why I made the call in the morning is because the email didn't go through, and I was just on the phone, and the Rebbe hears me talking, stomping about the table, and he's like, I want to come see it. And then he comes, sees it, and then he takes the table. Wow. You see, after Shmaya, that the email, I was working so hard, I was so tired. So then it turns out I called the guy, and he's like, "I don't want the table anyways." I'm like, wow, imagine. I send the email. I'm so frustrated. It doesn't work out. I make a phone call. Someone hears me talking about something. And then, siyata d'shmaya, wow. You know what? Galgolas HaOmer is a great story, but Galgolas HaOmer, they had the emunah that every day their mun was going to come. Sfiras HaOmer, we're counting. We just had a Pesach. And we're bringing the emunah in. V'chai b'hem. We want to live by the mitzvos. Oylem hazeh. Oylem haba. We want to live with the Ribbono Shel'olam. But we have to build ourselves inside. And then bring it out. Everyone have an amazing, amazing Parshas Achremos. Everyone have an amazing, amazing Shabbat.